any social media sites that pop up, be on it first. If I would give him any advice, it'd be like, hey man, like get better at writing, because at the time at the time I wasn't good at writing. So like it's like, hey man, like get on it now, like be the best you can be now. I like to do music with other people, and I definitely tell when people get on my music, I definitely be like, hey man, like I'm very positive, like I like to keep my music clean. And they understand when they come in, like they do their thing, but they don't like curse or do anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So welcome to Songwriter Trysts. This is an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee. Music saved my life, and I love talking with other artists about the power of songwriting and their journey to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. Please support the podcast by subscribing, or you can buy us a coffee all through the website songwritertrysts.com. Harden, how you doing? We've been meaning to do this for a while. You've got some new music out, and we met on your Australian tour. I want you, in your own words, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from.
Well, my name is Avery Harden, everybody. I am from Las Vegas, Nevada. I am a positive MC, a positive rapper, I like to call myself. I'm a dreamer, and I want to help people through my music. Very high energy, you know, kind of like vibes. And yeah, I'm a different type of artist. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't care about all these cars and all this stuff. Like, I'm just like, you know, I want to do music and travel the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's more, but I feel like that's me in a nutshell. Yeah.
Well, you nailed it with saying positive rapper, because that was the biggest thing that kind of stood out to me. That's how I met Scoobs and ID. You know, we were at an open mic and they were rapping, and I'd never heard that type of genre of music in such a positive, mental health, pro, supportive, like wanting to encourage and inspire healthy habits music. That those two things had never gone together. And like, that's what I do with my music, but it's singer-songwriter country. And so like, that's how I met them, and then I met you, and like I was just blown away by the whole show and everyone's attitude. It was so contrast. So tell me about, how did that happen? What inspired you? What are you like? What makes you think this was the path to go down? Like, how did you end up here?
So I grew up listening to, you know, I don't know what everybody believes, but my parents we grew up Christian, so mm-hmm. I grew up in the church.
Pastor's kid.
Yeah, I'm a pastor's kid. So I grew up, you know, learning and you know, learning about, you know, Jesus and the Bible and all that stuff, and like it very well, like, you know, shaped and molded who I, you know, am today. Yeah. And I think obviously you grow up and you kind of have your kind of like own ideology of how things go, and I still believe in a lot of the things that I grew up on. But yeah, I think that's what shaped me. And like, just being in this industry as a rapper and seeing the way other rappers do things and the, you know, I don't know how, you know, like, I don't know how many people believe, but like, man, I believe in like there is like some type of like spirit or, you know, like aura around people. And I've been around a lot of like dark energy. And if you don't believe in nothing, like, I believe in that. Like, I've felt things like that, you know what I mean? So I just kind of like, I kind of come to realization, you know, I don't know, maybe, I don't even know. Like, I think I was just still young, like, came to realization, like, this is the path I want to go down. Like, this is the type of rapper I want to be. Like I said, I grew up on a lot of Christian music, Christian rap. And then,
I've never heard of Christian rap before. I definitely grew up on Christian music, like Christian rock, like,
yeah,
Jesus freak, you know, like.
what's the guys who do Hero, Skillet? I think it's Skillet.
Yeah.
Oh, you know them out there?
Yeah. No, I do. But like, okay, but like, I don't meet a lot of people that know Christian pop music or,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, other than the people that I went to youth group with. But I also loved like secular music. I just didn't like the lyrics or the vibe of it. So I would like, that was one of the first ways I would songwrite would be like take, like, do you remember Milkshakes, for example? Like, my milkshakes brings all the boys. Yeah, like, yeah. I would rewrite that with like Christian lyrics. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the dorkiest thing I ever did. But it was just because, like, I love the melody, you know? Like,
I did the same thing.
Yeah. So what inspired you to get into music? Like, what made you want to be a rapper? Who were your inspirations and things?
I started making music when I was 5. I started drumming. I'm a drummer.
Yeah.
So I was drumming at 5 years old, like, you know, drumming in the choir or whatever. Like, I was there with like the band, like this 5-year-old kid, like watching this stuff. So like, music's always been in me. And then I think I went to a Christian rap concert in Las Vegas. It was in Las Vegas, and it was some guys, I don't even remember their names, to be honest with you. And they had a show. It was the whole deal. I was like young. I think I was like in middle school or maybe elementary school. And they had like the smoke come up, and like it was like this whole big deal. And I was like, man, that's so sick. And I was like, man, I want to do that. And then, you know, just be, you know, being a kid and like listening to, like I said, Christian rap, I was like seeing these guys, I call these guys my heroes, rappers like The Truth. And it's another rapper named Ambassador, Fanatic, like, Trip Lee and Flame, like these guys were like, I didn't have older brothers, so they were like my older brothers in a sense. When I'm listening to them, like, I'm, you know, they're telling me, they're giving me game. So like, I'm listening to them, and I'm listening to them, and then I'm like, I'm memorizing what they're, you know, they're saying, and I'm starting to rap what they're saying. And then my dad lets me like rap in church, the Christian rappers. So that's how it all, you know, started for me. And then I just started making my own music. I started writing my own like lyrics at like, what, 15, 16. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, from there, like it just took off. I think I did like a big like church camp thing.
Yeah.
Like 300, maybe 400 kids. It was a lot of kids. And like, they let me perform. And then that was it. That was the one. I was like 16. Oh. And I killed the stage. And that was like, it was like euphoria. I never felt anything like that. It was crazy. And that was the nail in the coffin. Like, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
I love that. And do you know, I think like the moment you said you were a PK, it's like, oh, that's where the music comes from. Because like, I'm one of 6, but we all had to play an instrument because they needed a band for church. So like, you know, you get thrown in there, and I think it's great. But it's also another challenge. You said, like, I know you said you're a positive rapper, but do you classify yourself as a Christian rapper as well? Like your heroes, do you put yourself in that category?
I mean, some people do. I mean, like this last project, you know, it was very heavy faith in it. But I mean, I try not to do it myself, because there's still topics that I want to talk about that Christian people would shun. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, it's because it's real life. Like, it's not, you know, nobody's perfect. And that's a big thing for me, is like the whole Christian music world is like, you're put on this pedestal, you know, it's like a president or a freaking governor or something like that. You're put on this pedestal. So if you slip because you're not a perfect human being, you are criticized to the T, like it's crazy. So I don't know. I just, you know, in my opinion, I just write music and I make music. People can say what they want to say about it. Like, I deem it as positive. If somebody says, oh, man, you're a Christian rapper, I'm like, hey, that's what you said. I didn't say that.
Yeah. Like, I'm a Christian and I write music. Does that make me a Christian musician? I guess so. but whether you put that into your bio or not, like.
I feel like at the end of the day, like, who are we to decide? Like, I think it's up to the consumers in a sense. So, you know what I mean? True. Like your consumer base, like, you know, not everybody's going to know your music, but I feel like your consumer base describes who you are.
Yeah. Do you promote yourself as like to Christian like radio and stuff like that? or just anywhere?
Say again?
Do you promote yourself to Christian radio?
No. I did an interview the other day with Gorilla Cross, which is a Christian based like podcast interview radio thing. But they're more lenient to positive. And mm-hmm. one of the songs, which is crazy that I'm gonna say this, I don't care, whatever. But one of my songs got put on their like Spotify playlist or whatever.
Yeah.
But I got a feature from I don't talk about anything, you know, derogatory or whatever, but I had a feature on the project. Shout out to my boy Cam Archer. And he has like he didn't curse at all, but he has a part in the song where he's like he's getting head like a hydrant or something like that. Like she's wet like a hydrant or something like that. And the song was on the Christian playlist, and I'm like, hey, dude, I never said that this is a Christian song. They just didn't hear any curse words and heard me not be derogatory or, you know, anything like that. So I think they just took it and ran with it and maybe never heard his part. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, because even then, like, it's like, I like to do music with other people. And I definitely tell when people get on my music, I definitely be like, hey, man, like, I'm very positive. Like, I like to keep my music clean. And they understand when they come in, like, they do their thing, but they don't, like, curse or do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think that's setting healthy boundaries without overstepping the mark as far as, like, curbing someone's creativity. I think that's beautiful. I feel like we've potentially grown up in the same world in the sense that, like, I think it's sad that we actually have to define there's a difference between Christian and positive. Like, you know, I mean, the world where I was taught as a Christian, that like that's probably should have been hand in hand, but there's just been so much mud in the water when it comes to Christianity in like quotation marks that we have to have that definition, and that's sad because there's so much division in it. But I like that, like you're being really specific. I'm just targeting the positive side of things, and hopefully you'll inspire people without tainting other people's experiences, because not everyone's had great experiences with the church and Christianity. I feel like I'm putting a lot of this in quotation marks because it means so many different things to so many people, different people now.
Yeah.
How do you get around that?
I mean, I just do it, man. For a long time, I was like, you know, when I was I started and I was heavily like, if you want to say a Christian rapper, I was heavily like that when I first started making music.
Making worship music before I became music. Yeah, it's like a natural progression.
Yeah, and then it's just, you know, I found myself and found like the purpose in what I'm supposed to do. Like, you know, because there's a lot of like the guys I grew up on, like they're really theological, really like in the Bible, like and telling these kind of stories and like doing this kind of thing. Like, and I'm like, man, like it's amazing that I grew up on it and I got inspired from it. You know, because I was kind of like in church, you know, like I was around my dad. So like this, some of these words have spoke to me. Right. So like, I think of my music and I'm like, ah, man, I don't know the people that I look like my audience that I look at, like they don't look like they're in church like that. Like, you know, so when I'm doing my thing and I'm like one of my songs, I like, I say, put my trust in God, 'cause there's no plan B. And like, you got people who don't even know about like God, and they just like they're singing the lyrics like, put my trust in God because there's no plan B, and they believe what I'm saying, and like now they're running with it. Now they're questioning, you know, oh shoot, what about God? What, you know what I mean? And I think that might be the better look than being like, you know, God said do this, and you know, me personally, I despise those people. Like Christians, you know, Muslim people, come at anybody. Come at me, because bro, you shouldn't be. I don't think anybody should be judging someone, you know, for living their life. You know, that's just my opinion. In my opinion, but that's also a big reason why I don't like to do the whole Christian rap, because, you know, who am I to judge anyone? You know, I'm not God. I can't be like, hey, stop it. You know.
Yeah. I literally have a whole song that's like just on that, like that judgmental Christian side of the church that I don't like either. And then that was the one song that got heaps of Christian radio play without promoting it. And it was like, either they don't know what the song's about or they agree with me and, you know, other people are feeling what I'm feeling. So what do you want with your ideal customer? Like your people, your listeners and the people that connect with your music. Like what is your goal when you're songwriting and you're putting these amazing tunes together? Like, because you've got some incredible wordsmith happening in your songs.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, honestly, when I write music, recently I've been just thinking about the people who actually are supporting. So like I literally, when I'm writing music, I have like the people I talk to on Instagram and, you know, wherever else, like that say, hey man, you inspire me, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're in my mind when I'm writing these lyrics. So, you know, so I'm hoping that I just hit them and it just, you know, helps them out, you know, helps them have like a better day, better, you know, week. I don't know. You know, I like just try to do my best to like inspire, you know, that's like my biggest goal is just to inspire somebody to dream or, you know, do what they want to do in life. That's like one of the biggest ones, you know? And also I want them to also, this is a big one too, for me, I want them to feel something. That's the biggest thing for me, because if my favorite artist of all time, Michael Jackson, Sade, when they create, and I know it's a lot of people in the room, you know, writing whatever, but them performing it makes you feel what they feel, and that's initially what I want to do. Is like I want to make you feel like what I'm saying, like, oh man, dang, I felt that, and I can relate to that, blah blah blah. You know, that's the thing I'm writing. Yeah.
I love that. And you collaborate with quite a few people. What's your experience with collaboration? Why do you do it? Do you think it works well for you?
You're talking to a weirdo in the music industry, because I don't care.
Why
about,
are you weird?
Because I don't care. I don't care for the collaborations. Like I can care less about it. But when I do hear something and I'm like, oh, like this guy would sound really good on it, or this girl would sound really good on it, I'll do it. Like I'm even, you can talk to a lot of my friends. I'm very stubborn when it comes to like music too, because I'm like, I don't want anybody else. I don't want anybody to touch it, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, there are those, you know, moments where I'm like, oh man, this needs a singer, or this needs an additional verse. Like I wrote a song about my cousin who is incarcerated. And it was about like me not being able to like help him throughout life. And I was like, oh man, I could write another verse, but I also want a second person's opinion on this. And then I asked a friend to write his, the way he would, you know, come on it, and it just worked out perfectly. But like, it's things like that that just pop up. Like, you know, if I'm hearing a song, I'm like, oh, okay, I can hear somebody on this. But for the most part, I'm very much like, this is me and I don't want anybody to touch it.
Okay. That's okay. I think that's beautiful. I was definitely like that for a very long time, and I'm probably 50-50. But it's good to be intuitive. I think that, you know, you're open to the fact when your song is telling you it needs something. Is that like what you're saying? The song tells you it needs someone else and you're cool with that?
That's what happens. Like, it's like a lot of times it happens where I'm like trying to write the next verse, and it's like, oh man, it's not working out. And then I'm like, okay, let me just keep hearing it. And I'm like, okay, I can hear another verse on it. So for example, the song with the guy that got the playlist on the Christian radio, he's a crazy rapper. He's a crazy, like,
what's the name of that song, so people can go listen to it?
It's called Stroke of the Nanya.
Okay.
She's like, what?
I've probably heard it, because I've listened to, I think, just about all your songs, but I'll have to go back and like re-listen to it with that in mind, just to see if I can pick up on it.
It's called Stroke of Delaney, and he's really good at rapping. And I did a really good job at rapping, and I was like, okay, let me try to like outdo my first verse. I couldn't outdo my first verse. And I was like, all right, well, we need another top tier type rapper on it. And then boom, Cam came to mind. We already had a song together, and I was like, man, this guy's really good. So like that, that's how it came about. Like it's just, you know. Yeah, yeah.
So you said that you're a dreamer. You introduced yourself as a dreamer, and you want to travel. And you've already done a fair amount of travel from what I can see. But what is the bigger dream? What's the future goals and aspirations? What's the only plan that you've got to trust God to kind of take care of for you?
Man, you know what's crazy? The other day, somebody asked me this, and I was like, you know what, man? I just want to make $100,000 a year and just doing music. I don't want to do anything else, just music. If I'm making $100,000 a year, I'm fine. And this person, and it's sort of random. Like it's not a random. Like it was a person who supports and believes, but it wasn't like a close friend. And they were like, damn, you're selling yourself short. And I was like, what? I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, you're selling yourself short. And I'm like, I don't think so. I feel like that's a really obtainable goal. She's like, but like, aren't you a dreamer? Like, don't you dream? Like, don't you want more? And I'm like, oh man, like I do. Like I felt I in that moment, I felt like, oh man, in my mind, I'm settling. And I'm like, that's not where I got into this for. So yeah. I had to reevaluate what my dreams are, you know, in this thing. And as of right now, you know, I won't say a number or anything, but the biggest dream or goal is to just be able to tour the world. Like, I just want to tour everywhere that I can step foot in, like, you know, even not step foot in. Like, I know Russia doesn't even like rap or something. I want to go to Russia and rap. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to go to every part of this world and do my music. That is the dream. That is the goal. And that's the dream big goal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, not like settling. That's a big one. And that has nothing to do
like a $100,000 travel budget.
Yeah, I mean, that had nothing to do, in my mind, that had nothing to do with money. It was just like that's something that can happen. Cause I've done, you know, I've done the UK, Europe, Australia on $3,000-$4,000 budgets. Like that's crazy. That's, you know, that's not even heard of. I think it costs like that much to get there or something like that. So
you also have the confidence to travel on your own. Like I've traveled on my own, and it's only last year where I realized, oh my gosh, most artists need like a babysitter, a manager, band members, a crew. Like, and you see these artists traveling with like 12 people, and I'm like, oh, that's why it costs the labels so much money send these artists, because they have to have this entire crew that go with them. And I think the world's changing. Like independent artists have to be okay with traveling by yourself and sleeping on the couch and maybe going to a backpackers or, you know, slumming it a little bit. I mean, like, but I'll slum it.
definitely have to thug it out a little bit. Thug it out for sure. Because it's, you know, that was like my first couple of times in Australia. My first couple of times in Australia was rough, really rough. Really? And it was like, not rough. Like I appreciate everybody who supports me because they just let me crash on the couches or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, in due time, I got to, you know, be at the nice little hotels and everything. But yeah, the first couple of times was like, yo, I was like sleeping on a freaking couch with a dog or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, aww. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
that's brave.
For sure. I just wanted to go. I wanted to go, but I made it happen. I made it happen. That was the whole thing about it. Like, you know, now I'm about to go on my fifth, hopefully in October.
Okay. So when you first started out, if you could go back to that Avery and you could time travel and give them some advice, like what would you say to them? What do you wish you had have known then that you now know?
There is not much that I can say to little Avery. Because he had dreams bigger than, you know, bigger than mine right now. Like I just told you with the $100,000. Like I'm like that kid had way bigger dreams, and like I have to reassess what I'm like dreaming about now. You know what I mean? Because I've done a lot of things, and I'm like kind of like, oh man, like I'm trying to settle or something like that. So that kid is a dreamer. So I would just tell him to keep dreaming and stay at it. And If I would give him any advice, it'd be like, hey man, like get better at writing, because at the time I wasn't good at writing. So like it's like, hey man, like get on it now, like be the best you can be now. But other than that, like I the path that I chose is great, and it's you know I'm still on it, and I'm I've done a lot of things I'm grateful for. But yeah, I don't think I would tell him anything. I'm not telling him anything. I would tell him, but there's nothing I can say. Like, I feel like he's on it. I went down a really good path.
Yeah.
I went down a really good path. It was hard. Sometimes you got to struggle, but struggle makes beauty. And like, I'm at a point where I'm in a really good position, and, you know, we're not making millions, but you know, we're still on the path to make millions.
I love it.
But yeah, yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying in my head to think.
It did shock me when you said you're aiming for $100,000 a year, because I was like, I mean, I see you as someone who will be able to charge $100,000 to walk on a stage, you know, headlining at a festival or something like that. So, I mean, you've got the talent, you've got the work ethic. So it's just a matter of time, as long as you don't settle on keep believing. Yeah.
Wait. What I would say to little Avery is I would tell him, any social media sites that pop up, be on it first. Be the first to be on it. Because I wish. So for example, like Facebook, you know, MySpace happened, and then MySpace years, I was doing music, but I wasn't doing music that much. And then Facebook happened, and you know, I was doing music, and I was trying to do music, and I was on YouTube too, but like, YouTube, I was late to the party. And then Instagram happened, and you're a little late to the Instagram party. You know, I think it was my first year of college. Anyways, all I'm trying to say is, like, I was a little late to the parties. TikTok, yeah. I was late to the party. And like, yeah. I wish I was on the go. And it was like Musically, and it was some other Snapchat. Like, I wish I would tell myself, get out of your own head, do it. Like,
yeah,
because that's what TikTok is now, basically. Like, that's what that's what I do now. Is like, I mindlessly just post, and I get new, you get new followers every single day, because TikTok is like the biggest discovery. But if you would have known that before it got hot, that's what I would tell little Avery, for sure.
Okay, just keep an eye out for that next
thing. Yeah, as soon as it happens, it doesn't matter if it pops up or blows up, just get on it.
And how integral do you feel your social media has been to your success financially, and for being able to travel and put on shows in other countries? Do you put a lot of that down to social media?
Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. There's no, I brag on social media all the time. I hate it. But social media has gotten me to these places, you know, to, like I said, to Australia 4 times, to UK and, you know, Europe, all over America. Social media has done that. Like, you can't do that from the comfort of your home, your neighborhood, and as an independent artist. Labels can do that. And as an independent artist, you cannot do that without social media. So, like I said, I bag on social media. I hate on it all the time. But social media is a blessing for the independent artist. Like you would never know. I have people in Australia, freaking London, Amsterdam, that love me more than anybody could ever love me here musically. Aww. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so that's how we were able to stay in contact, you know? So,
yeah. Exactly. 100%.
I think it's a great business tool, but I also, just as a side note, know how massively it impacts mental health and how much trouble it causes for people. So I think it's good as a business tool, but also for myself personally and for family and children, try to teach healthy boundaries around social media usage and stuff like that. But definitely as an independent artist, massive tool.
It's really dangerous. I'm gonna be real. Mm. It's really dangerous, because you could be on it for 2 seconds and for example, if I post something and like it doesn't do well, and then I start to scroll and I see somebody else that does what I do, and like it isn't as good as mine, but it's doing crazy numbers. Now I start to get in my head, you know, like anybody, you know. So yeah, it's a bad. It has its good and it has its bads. Honestly, it has its good and it has its.
All right, let's talk about inspirations. If you could collaborate with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Dead or alive? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, anyway.
Michael Jackson off the top.
I thought you might say him, but I was like, I didn't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Easily Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, Sade, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Lupe Fiasco, my boy Hobson, for sure. That's like 5 people. That's like a crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. That's like, that's okay. You can have a party and.
yeah. See, that's my dream album, basically.
Okay. For someone who doesn't want to collaborate very much, you've got a lot of. So tell me about the latest album. I'm pretty sure it's the Atlantis. I've got it in front of me. Atlantis 2.
Yes.
Milo's Return. Right.
right
yes,
here.
I see it up there. Tell us about the album.
Yeah, so it's a sequel to the first Atlantis I did in 2018. And yeah, it's just it's about a nod to the movie Atlantis, the Disney movie Atlantis. Mm-hmm. A lot of people haven't seen it. Anyways, if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. Disney Plus. It's a phenomenal movies that we had in the early 2000s. I think it was like right at 2000. Yeah. But
we must
anyways,
be like the same age because I agree.
Yeah. So the movie is about archaeologist, this guy, Milo Thatch.
Is that a Kellogg's? Is that a cereal box?
Cereal box, yeah. No. I got it off of like Etsy. just to promote the album, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, things people collect.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So Milo Thatch is a archaeologist or something, you know, to discover things. Anyways, he wants to discover this this lost city called Atlantis, and he needs funding for it and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people don't believe this guy, and he's very adamant about this city. And the movie is about like somebody actually believing him and they actually find the city, and it's, you know, more to it. But that was the gist that I got to put into my music, is that my music is Atlantis. I'm Milo Thatch, and I'm trying to show these people that this city exists and they need to, you know, rally around it. And, you know, I still feel like these people don't believe, but this is a beautiful city, my music, and they need to hear it. So, you know, kind of play on like themes just to, you know, be creative.
That's so beautiful and poetic. That's probably the best description I've heard anyone ever describe their music and album and relating it to a Disney story.
It's okay. I'm very much like I think creatives are very dramatic. So when I see something, and I'm like, oh man, I could relate to that, I take it and I put myself in the shoes. Like Rocky, for example. Rocky.
Underdog song.
Yeah, I am Rocky. So anytime I
heard that,
that is me. That's me. Like, you know, I feel that, you know. So
I think a lot of us relate to that underdog feeling, isn't it? Whether we were bullied at school or felt like someone didn't believe in us when we deep down knew that we did believe in ourselves. Like, it's a constant challenge that, a lot of people relate to that. So it's a good story to go with and talk about.
So that's Atlantis, and this is the sequel. Atlantis 2 is just another, you know, they made a second one on Disney, and this is the second one in my universe. So awesome. just tell them my story.
I love it. I think that's all like my official questions, but is there anything else you would like to share with people? I'm going to put all of your social links and your music in the description of the podcast, and it's going to be on a blog on the website, songwritertrist.com, as well. But is there anything else you'd like to share with other songwriters who are listening or people who are fans of you that, you know, want to say something to those guys?
The takeaway from this whole thing is just believe in yourself and always, you know, always chase what you want, you know. Like, I feel like a lot of people, because we're creators, we don't see it, but I see it because, like, I live with, shout out to my roommate, I live with someone who was kind of like just working, whatever, and then we became roommates. She was just working, she was doing her thing, whatever, you know, living her life, and like, we've been friends since like 2011, and she was just working and doing her thing. And like, I'm so passionate about, you know, my music and this and that and that. And I'm like, damn, dude, like, what do you want to do? Like, you just want to like work. You just want to like, you know, do your job, which her job is really good. And she has like, she gets paid real well. But I'm like, is that all that you want? Like, and get, you know, find a husband and get married and have kids. Like, is that it? I'm like, that's cool. You know, but like, is there anything that you want? She's like, oh man, I want to be an FBI agent. I'm like, well, go do it, dude. Yeah. Like, go for it. And then she recently just started going to school and trying to figure it out. Cause it's like, man, I feel like we, you know, a lot of us work for somebody, and we help them achieve their dreams, but we never go after our dreams. So
yeah, it's a dangerous trap to be in, isn't it?
Huh?
It's a dangerous trap to be in. Yeah.
I think that's my takeaway. That's my big takeaway for anybody that's listening. Is, man, go chase your dreams, man. Like, be like my roommate. You know, she was like, just satisfied with her life. And then she was like, all right, nah, bro, I want to be an FBI agent. I'm going to go to school and figure it out. So,
and you know what I love as well is that you supported her in that and you encouraged her. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've seen from this podcast is that everyone I've spoken to who are songwriters who are chasing their songwriting dreams is that everyone had someone to believe in them and give them a kick in the butt and say, you can do this. Like, what do you want? Go get it. Like what you just said. And it's like, it's not just about getting what you want, but it's also about surrounding yourself with people who believe in you and encourage you and love you enough to push you to chase those dreams. And you're that person for some people out there.
Hey, like, man. Well, Let's get it, you know? You know, go after it, guys.
All right. We are all done. Thank you so much.
All right. I like your Star Wars shirt.
It's my son's. I just stole it.
Oh, your son's.
We just got it from like an op shop and it just happens to fit me as well. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Shout out to your husband. Tell him to watch our podcast. We do a podcast on like Marvel and superheroes and stuff. Me and my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called Above the Multiverse, and we talk about everything Marvel, you know, superhero. We even talk about just movies and our music as well. So, yeah, you know, if he's into Marvel, maybe he'll like our podcast, you know.
Yeah, sure. I'll give it a shout out and add that link to this podcast as well, for sure.
Yeah, it's called
a lot of people. I love it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love it. So.
Yeah, it's called Above the Multiverse. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for joining our songwriter Tris today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guests, please go to the website songwritertrists.com.